Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this wonderful moment, Lord. As we come into Thy presence, Lord Jesus, we pray that Your presence will be manifested. We are coming into Your presence as New Jerusalem Church, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, Lord. As we draw closer and closer to Thy coming with the passing of every day and every hour and every minute and every second, we acknowledge, Lord, that we are here not to enjoy the pleasures of this world, but to enjoy everything that we have today within the boundaries of the will of God. Yes, Father, You said, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. And we know, Father, that in Thy presence is fullness of joy, and that Thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. And as we are going through manifold problems and challenges and tribulations, as we spend this time in this world, we know, Father, that You're grooming us, You're transforming us, and You're changing us to be transformed into the image of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. That one day, Father, when the rapture takes place, we will look like Jesus, we will be powerful and authoritative and clear and pure like Jesus. And even now, Father, we thank You that You are purifying us by the precious blood to look at Thee when Thou comest back like You are, pure and perfect in holiness, Lord. And we thank You for the ministries that You've given in the church, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists, that we all may not be children, but grow into the image and the glory and the maturity of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is born of our bones and flesh of our flesh. We thank You, Lord Jesus, for being our heavenly bridegroom. We thank You for being our Savior. We thank You for being our friend. We thank You for being our elder brother. And we know, Lord Jesus Christ, that when He rose from the dead, You said, behold, I go before You into Galilee, and You ascended up into heaven to the right hand of God the Father to prepare the place for us. Yes, Father, as Your word says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek ye the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Help us, Lord, not to be distracted with the background that this world offers, but Father, may Your throne be the foreground. May Your throne be our focus. We pray for Brother Jose and Brother Miles and their families, Lord, hallelujah, and the children and the grandchildren, Father. We pray that You envelop them and surround them with Thy presence. During this holiday season, Father, December of 2018, may Thy glory go before us. May Thy presence go before us. As You said in Isaiah chapter 45, I will go before You and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. I will give You the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that You may know that I, the Lord, which call Thee by Thy name, I am the God of Israel. We thank You, Father, that You are our Heavenly Father who goes before us. Shatter all obstacles, move all mountains, fill all plains, break all then shatter all the gates, Father, and let Thy children inherit all Thy promises from Genesis to Revelation. For the Lion of the tribe of Judah has won the victory, and we thank You, Jesus Christ, for the victory that You won on the cross of Calvary through Thy precious blood and through Thy death. And we thank You that we serve a resurrected Jesus Christ. We thank You, Heavenly Father, that we are not worshiping rocks and stones, but we are worshiping the living God, our Heavenly Father, the Creator of the universe. We thank You, we praise You, and we pray, Heavenly Father, that You will speak through us and speak to us, that we may once more hear Thy voice, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, Heavenly Father. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Amen.
Recently, I saw a video in which a mother was saying, sometimes it is good for our children to face some challenges in life, because that builds character and that strengthens them so they will be strong and mature. And then I was thinking about our Heavenly Father. Sometimes we pray to our Heavenly Father and say, Lord, please deliver me from this situation. I've always experienced this in my life. Whenever I face challenges, I pray to the Lord saying, Lord, please deliver me from this situation. And when God responds, it's very interesting. Recently, I was going through some challenges, and I prayed to the Lord, And the Lord said, early in the morning in a voice, I am with you. I am the Lord thy God that goeth before thee. I will be with thee and bless thee abundantly. And I got up and wrote it down. And then I asked the Lord, what about these challenges that I'm going through? And then again, as I slept, and then as I was waking up again, I heard God's voice deep in my soul. And he said, all will end victoriously. Be of good courage. And as I had more questions about my workplace, and then the Lord spoke to me again and said, I am with you and will give you favor in the eyes of all that you work with and your supervisors. And then I said, but Lord, what about all these challenges we are having in our life? We face mountains. We face obstacles. What about this? We face darkness. And then I slept again, and as I woke up, I heard the Lord's voice, and he said, and Jesus said, when in darkness, look up at the stars and see if you can count them. Even so will I bless you. I am God. Do not worry. I will be with you and bless you abundantly. And these are the promises that God made to Abraham. These are the promises that God made to his son Jesus Christ as he was on this earth and eternity. And these are the promises that God made to the early church. And these are the same promises that God is making to us, the descendants of Abraham, the family of Jesus Christ, and part of the heavenly Jerusalem. And we read about the life of Joseph too. He went through a lot of challenges. And I'm sure he prayed to the Lord saying, Lord, please help me in these challenges. Please deliver me. But the Bible says, God did not deliver him immediately from his challenges. Until the time that the Lord's word came, the word of the Lord tried him. And so I began thinking, why does not the Lord immediately deliver us? Why, when we pray, why doesn't God say, okay, I've taken care of your problem, it's done? It's because God is purifying us. Well, if he's purifying us, does that mean that we are impure? There is a difference between being impure, and there is a difference between imperfection and perfection. We are washed by the blood of Jesus. We are purified. However, we don't look like Jesus. We are not transformed. So there is a difference between how we look right now, physically, in our soul and in our spirit, and how God wants us to look in the future. And that's reflected in Romans 8, verse 28 and 29. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Unless we understand the significance of this verse, it will be very difficult to understand God. When the Israelites were in the wilderness, fleeing from the hands of Pharaoh, God tested them 10 times. He didn't tempt them. He tested them to see if in the midst of challenges and adversity, they would trust God. Just a few examples. Pharaoh behind them, the ocean before them, nowhere to go, sandwiched. And God wanted to see if they will trust him. And Moses stretched his hand and the rod that God gave him, and the ocean split in two. They were hungry in the wilderness. God tested them with hunger. God tested them with danger. God tested them with thirst. God tested them with enemies. God tested them with the pleasures of this world that were open to them to see if they would choose the world or they would choose God. And very sadly, only Caleb and Joshua entered the promised land. Today we have so many millions, probably a few billions, that call themselves Christians or Catholics. And they all carry a Bible. Of course, the Catholic Bible is slightly different, and the Protestant Bible is different too. It's got 66 books, and the Catholic Bible has a few more books. But all the millions of Israelites, the Jews that left the land of Israel, did not enter the land of Canaan. God says about Caleb and Joshua, these are the only two which followed me completely. So what was the secret that Caleb and Joshua knew that made them follow God completely and help them inherit the promised land? And why did the rest of the people didn't make it? Again, we go back to Romans 28:29. God is saying, we need to understand that everything that happens in our life, because even the hairs of our head are all numbered, is for good. We know the end of Joseph, he was exalted to the right hand of Pharaoh, although he went through challenges. Now, what is the good? Even as Joseph got exalted to the right hand of Pharaoh, Jesus says in the book of Revelation, he that overcometh shall be seated with me on my throne, even as I overcame and sat with my Father on his throne. Can you ever imagine God Almighty at his right hand, Jesus Christ, seated? And then we are sitting right next to Jesus Christ. That is God's aim for us. God the Father has the highest aim for us. That we look like Jesus. That we are kings like Jesus. And we sit on the throne with Jesus. Because even as me or Brother Jose would seek the best for our children, even so our Heavenly Father seeks the best for us. For whom he did foreknow, Romans 8:29, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. So, millions and billions and trillions of years back, God chose me and Brother Jose and Miles and their families to one day be seated with Jesus in eternity and to look like Jesus. So he already planned it, and now the time is short and he has to fulfill his plan. And he sees us that we haven't become like Jesus. There is a difference between what we are now and what we need to become. And therefore what he does is he takes us through the fire until he looks at the gold and he can see the reflection of his face on the molten gold. However, God will not allow us to be tested beyond what we are able to handle. Because if the gold breaks or smokes out, then that gold or vaporizes, then that gold is wasted. God knows exactly how much to test us so that we'll become like His Son Jesus. And we can trust in God. When we walk on the beach, we see the mighty waves beating against the beach sand. And they come so fierce, and then suddenly they stop. Because God has a barrier between the land and the waves. And He says, you cannot go beyond this boundary. Job chapter 38 verse 8 and 11 talks about it. Or who shut up the sea with doors when it brake forth, as if it had issued out of the womb, and said, Hitherto shalt thou come, but no further, and here thy proud waves shall be staved. Except in the time of hurricane, where all nature's in chaos, in normal environment, the waves of the ocean slam against the beach sand and they stop because God has a commandment. Even so, the temptations and the challenges that come in our life has a limit and God stops it so it cannot flood us. The Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raiseth up a standard against him. God gives us the victory. When the devil closes the doors and gates, and we look at the gates and said, Oh no, it's him again. God says, Don't worry, I'm going before you. And when God goes before us, either the doors open automatically or the gates shatter into pieces. And all that matters is God is going before us. And God will test us for a certain time. He will allow challenges because his ultimate objective is not that we become the richest people in this world. It is not his objective that we become the strongest people in this world. Although that is a good aim, God has something beyond that because this world is temporary. Riches and health and everything in this world is temporary. But God is looking for our eternal value and for eternal gain. And that's why his objective is not that we become like some of the greatest men that ever lived, but we become like his son, Jesus Christ. I mention this often, but it's very appropriate. In the most testing and challenging and painful situation in my life, when I went to the Lord, early morning I heard his voice deep in my soul and he said, My son, I know that one day you will reflect the glory of my Father. And then the Father said, My son, I know that you will reflect the glory of my Son, Jesus Christ, for all eternity. Focus not at the present circumstance. Don't focus at this present situation, but focus on the destination. That's why Colossians 3:1 says, If ye be risen with Christ, seek ye the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Seek not the things of this earth, but things above, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. God's plan is to make us like Jesus Christ. God has planned our life in this world and our eternity beautifully. We don't have to worry about the things that are happening in this world. We don't have to worry about anything because everything has been planned in minute detail because the Bible says, Eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of men, the things which God hath prepared for those that love him. Those who have gone into heaven, those who have had a glimpse of what God has kept. It's like a birthday present, a secret. It's all wrapped up. And when we see that, we are going to be amazed at the love that God has for us. A man of God went to heaven and asked the Lord, Why did you leave me in all those challenging situations? And Jesus said, There was not a single second, my child, that I left you. I was with you. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the world. God has the times planned in our life. So we can be born and transformed into the image of his son, Jesus Christ. I saw a video about a person. He saw a crack in an egg. And there were a bunch of eggs under the mother hen. And he heard some shrieking and some struggle and some flapping of the wings inside the egg. And he said, Oh, poor chick. The crack is not wide enough for the chick to come out. So he made the crack slightly wider. And a few days later, he saw ants going into the egg. And he said, oh no, the chick has died. And he called his friend and said, I don't know what happened. This chick has died. And the friend said, okay, tell me what happened. And he said, this is what happened. There was a crack. The chick was struggling and I tried to help the chick and widen the crack. And he said, no, that was the wrong thing to do. You killed the chick. The chick is supposed to struggle and flap its wings and become strong. And naturally, the crack is supposed to widen and the chick is supposed to dry out. And by trying to do something that is not natural, by trying to stop it and prevent it from the challenges and the suffering that it's going through, you actually killed the chicken. My wife did the same thing. There was a caterpillar and she saw a butterfly trying to come out of it. And she said, oh no, this butterfly is struggling. Let me widen the hole so the butterfly can fly out. And a few minutes later, the butterfly fell dead to the ground. And we know that the struggle that the butterfly goes through when it flaps its wings, dries up its wings, and strengthens its muscles so that suddenly the caterpillar will split open and the butterfly will fly. Even so, Apostle Paul says, for the sufferings of this world cannot be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. The sufferings of this world cannot be compared with the glory that shall be revealed. And then he goes on to say, our sufferings and light afflictions, he calls it light afflictions, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. One day, we are going to be seated with Jesus. We are going to be seated with him on the throne, even as he overcame and is seated on the throne. And this is not for one day or 2 days. This is for eternity. In order to reach that level which God has already predestinated us for, and he's already seeing us in glory in the future. Because God doesn't live in the past tense. He lives in the future tense. Because that's why he told Abraham, behold, I have made thee a father of many nations before even he had a child. And Abraham believed in God and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness. We need to understand God so we can walk with him. God does not always come every time and try to deliver us. He will deliver us at the right time. For example, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't want to be thrown in the furnace. But they said, whether God delivers us or not, we don't care, king. We will not worship that image or the statue that you have made because we will worship only our Heavenly Father, the one true God. Guess what happened? The king threw them into the furnace. But Jesus was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the furnace, and the furnace did not do anything to them. And they got promoted because the king had never seen anyone survive this hot furnace. Those who threw him, it was so hot for them and they got killed. And therefore, in Isaiah chapter 43, God says, fear not, my child. When thou passest through the waters, when you go through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, and the flame shall not kindle you. There is nothing in this world, as I said in Romans 8 chapter, world or devil or situations or circumstances. There is nothing in this world that can harm us or give us problems. Of course, we'll feel the pain, but the problems cannot hurt us. I remember when we were in Knoxville, Tennessee, and Brother Jose knows that we were in a very, very difficult situation. Financially and in every other way. We didn't know where our next meal was going to come from. And at that point, I had a dream. In the dream, a man of God who had gone into glory a pastor, came to me in the dream and said, "Daniel, thus saith the Lord, I am sending Michael, the captain of the host of God's army, to go before you, and he will fight for you, and he will win the victory for you and your family and the church, New Jerusalem." And then I saw my entire living room was on fire. The couches were burning. And then he looked at me and said, "Look at those couches. I know your entire living room is burning, but this fire will stop and not even the smell of smoke will be on the couches." And I'm looking at the couches and tables and saying, "How can that be possible? The entire living room is on fire." And the fire got put out and the couches and everything, all the furniture looked like new. There was no harm. And he said, "Even so it shall be. Nothing can hurt the children of God Almighty. We are sons and daughters of Almighty God. Those who accepted Jesus Christ, God gave us authority to be called the sons and daughters of God. Whether it's the world or devil or whatever it is, nothing can hurt us. We'll be victorious. We will overcome as the Church of the Living God, New Jerusalem. And we will be taken up in the rapture. We don't have to worry about what is happening in this world, whether it's one world order or two world order or whatever order it is. We are the sons and daughters of Almighty God. And we will rule in this world, in the midst of the unbelievers. Jesus Christ will bring the church back, and we will reign in this world as kings and priests for 1,000 years. And then, when the new heavens and new earth comes down with New Jerusalem, we'll live and reign in New Jerusalem with Jesus Christ for eternity. That is our hope. That is our calling. We're just not living to be comfortable in this world. God will take care of all our problems. He will heal us from all sicknesses. He will heal us from all diseases. He will heal us and deliver us from all problems. For in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. We need to have faith, because the Bible says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name, who forgiveth all thy sins, who healeth all thy diseases, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." God will bless us physically. God will bless us financially. God will bless us spiritually. All the blessings of God will overflow in our lives. But we need to understand, though the fig tree do not blossom, nor the fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail. And the flocks be cut off from the field, and there be no herd in the stalls. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation, for he shall make my feet like hinds' feet, and I shall tread the high places. We will be blessed. We will be exalted. We will overcome. And even as Jesus went up in a cloud, when the trumpet sounds, we will all go up in a cloud looking like Jesus. And at the end of our life, everyone will look at us and say, "What a life to live. What a way to go." It is because of Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father, and the Holy Spirit. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We just have a very short time left. Jesus Christ is coming soon. Let us look up and lift up our heads, for our redemption is near.